Welcome to the Modern MBA podcast with Marie Kerwin and Kristen Rossi. Our mission is to help MBAs coming from, going into, or merely considering more unorthodox career paths. We're a community to find inspiration and share stories.
Today we're speaking with Eduardo Caballero, who before the MBA was working in his family business, High Performance Petroleum Services. Post-MBA, he's used the skills he's gained and moved to another family business, Petroland, as strategy, planning, and development manager. Hello, Eduardo. If you can tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, where you're from, and why you decided to do an MBA.
Okay, so my name is Eduardo Caballero. I am from Colombia. So why did I decide to do an MBA? Basically because of three things. So first of all, I felt that I just needed an upgrade of my skills. I had been working for over 10 years and I felt I needed to look for some new knowledge or refresh my knowledge. The second reason is that I felt that I needed to enhance my career. I was working at the time in the family business, but I felt the necessity to strengthen my CV, and the MBA offered me the perfect opportunity to do that. The last one, as I told you, I had been working for almost 10 years in a row with no rest. So I needed time off, you know, to think about my life objectives, about my career. So that's basically it.
And then can you tell us a little bit about your family business, High Performance Petroleum Services, that you worked in prior to the MBA? Can you tell us who was involved and what was your role?
Yeah, sure. So High Performance Petroleum Service, it is a SME. It's a small, medium enterprise. They provide service for the oil and gas industry. So that industry itself, it's called OFS. So it's basically engineering and specialized service for the oil and gas industry. At the time, I was working as a FP&A manager, financial planning and analysis manager. I had control over the budgets. I was in charge of doing all the projects assessment, projects planning as well. I had to prepare all the financial reports. I had to conduct all the financial modeling. At the time, I had just finished my master's degree in finance. So it was perfect because I could apply all my financial knowledge and expertise on the company. So I had the freedom to implement a lot of measures in that sense. So mainly in the company, we had people from outside, let's say not involved with the family, but the overall decisions were made by the board. And within the board, I had my father and two uncles. So the big shots were called from them. But in the company, I had some sort of freedom, so to speak, to make my own decisions and to make decisions of other projects. So that was kind of appealing because in that sense, I could implement and I could pursue projects on ideas of my own.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the great things about a family business is that you have that freedom.
That's totally right. That's totally right.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, and then so what was the catalyst for moving away from your family business?
So, you get when you are in your family business, you get to a point where you are no longer learning something new or from someone, you know, because that's it. I mean, it's your family and you working together. But at that point, I realized that I wasn't learning something new. I wasn't learning from anyone. So I kind of needed to get a fresh perspective to see something new, to see something, let's say, not boring. I mean, sorry, not interesting, but rather new. So that was the catalyst.
Like a new challenge.
Yeah, new challenges. Yeah, because, you know, if you're working in the same industry over some time and you get the feeling that you are no longer being challenged or you are no longer learning, you are no longer learning something new, you get stuck. And this feeling is just horrible. So,
yeah. No, I understand completely. So now you are the strategy planning and development manager for Petroland in Colombia, yes?
Yeah, yes.
And Petroland is also a family business.
Yeah.
What was the joining process like compared to your past experience?
So when I finished my MBA, I decided to make my own path. And I started to do some recruitment process. So I got back to Colombia because I was doing a process with McKinsey and with another consulting firm, which was doing pretty well. I mean, I got to the final stage and all that. But in December, as I was doing these processes, I got in touch with my family. They were having some problems in Petroland. So I started to dig deeper into the situation of Petroland, and I started to, let's say, a kind of a consultant project. So I identified some problems and some structural problems, and I started to develop some solutions for them. And then after some weeks, I talked to them. We negotiated, let's say, good conditions with salary and, let's say, some sort of freedom to implement all these solutions. So I say, why not? You know, it's a different business. I have no different perspective. I kind of, I was so into consultancy. So this was the perfect opportunity to implement some of the techniques that I learned in the MBA about consultancy, how to implement projects, all that. So I took the chance.
And that's really interesting. And so then you're kind of in a consulting role then. You're really at the core of driving the strategy of the business.
Yes, exactly. So everything started with this consultancy project. So I developed a strategy, and I developed a roll-up plan and all that. And everything was going well, was going perfect. But then this year, you know, because of this, because all this COVID thing, the industry is going through a head of a crisis. So I had to, let's say, interrupt the implementation plan and then redo a plan, because in this case, we needed to survive this crisis. And it's what I've been doing this time. It's planning for this crisis, not only in terms of financial, but also the strategy of the company.
It's really interesting, actually. You have so much, you're so pivotal, actually, in kind of bringing everything forward. And so then what was the actual joining process like? Was it very informal? Because say you join a MNC, the joining process is very formal. Was it different for Petroland, or did they have a specific joining process still? Or did you kind of slowly come in because you were on the consultancy project?
So, okay, let's say it was like a 2 or 3 prong process. So I started to, let's say, to set myself as a skillful man. You know, because it's important, if you are negotiating your salary or your position on anything else, you have to persuade the board, in this case, the board, that you are the guy for the job. In that matter, I started to, when I was doing my MBA, I developed some kind of ideas. So I started to talk to them, to let them know that I have a couple of ideas about what can be done to, because I was conducting the process with McKinsey, it was not my only choice at the time. So that allows you to position yourself, that allows yourself to better position yourself in a negotiation. First of all, position yourself as a very skillful guy. Secondly, let them know that they are not your first option, right? Because I was doing all these processes in addition. Third, I kind of start this project with them, this consultancy project, to see how it went. To see if they kind of like my job and if I liked the position. It was mainly, let's say, non-traditional recruitment process.
Quite a natural process. I think it's actually more authentic. And
yeah, well, in a way it's better because I had the chance to see by myself how was the job like.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt that it was the right thing to do, you know, because it was, I was applying all the knowledge that I gained through my MBA. Plus, I had the shot to support my family. And third, not only that, but also you have the time to spend with your family as well, because, you know, your job place is something that you have to enjoy, really, because it's like your second home, right? So it's important to be surrounded by people you care about.
Do you, Eduardo, do you feel like you have a better work-life balance in that kind of position than you would have done with, say, a big consulting firm like McKinsey?
Way better. Mari, actually, that was one of the, like, say, breaking points, or tipping points, because as I was going through this process with McKinsey, I got the chance to talk to a lot of people that was involved in consultancy. Everyone told me that the life work balance in consultancy, it's just horrible. A lot of long days, long times, a job. So that was actually one of the impressions that I got from the many people I talk about it. Consultancy, it's about a lot of work and a lot of hours in the office.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's really easy when kind of you're doing an MBA and everyone's applying for consultancy roles. I think it's easy to kind of get caught up in that and think about how exciting the work is. But the work-life balance and the travel and stuff is such a big part of it as well.
And I actually have now the time. I mean, I have the opportunity to set my own schedule, my own agenda. So if I want to work from home, I can do it from here because I have the confidence from the board and from the manager that I will do my job, because I have shown to them that I am a very disciplined person. So I can do it either here or from the office, or it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I can vouch for that too, if anyone ever questions you. A computer room buddy.
Yeah. I know. I miss those times.
Yeah, me too.
What about the skills? What skills do you have that you think have crossed over from your previous role? And were there any skills that you felt you didn't have that you had to kind of build on for your new job?
Okay, so I think I have been using all my set of skills from the previous job, because even if you don't want to, when you are in a managerial position, you have to deal constantly with financial numbers, with financial ratios, with projects assessment. So that was the skills that I used to do in my previous job. Let's say I haven't had the need to cross over any old skill, but in terms of new skills, in this position, I really have to learn negotiation skills, persuasion skills as well, because even though I have some ideas or I want to implement some new processes, I have to present them in a very, in a very appealing way to the board. So even though I have a good idea, I have to be persuasive enough to sell that idea to the board. So negotiation and persuasion, it's a must in this position. Also, in this case, I have to, let's say, improve my planning and strategy skills. Most of all, during this crisis, I have last month, 2 months, I had to develop a multi-scenery strategy. So based on the oil price, I have to develop various scenarios. So in that sense, it was kind of a strategy and planning, which I liked the most, but I didn't have these skills before the MBA.
Would you say the MBA gave them to you, or even after the MBA, you had to continue to build them?
No, I have to continue to build them, because in this case, I have to base all the strategy and planning on very specific information about the industry. So I have to continuously build these skills. But the MBA gave me, let's say, the base rock for that. I mean, if you go to an MBA, you are not going to learn absolutely everything. You are given a solid base of knowledge. From that, you can build on. And the last set of skills I would say I had to develop here, it's the, let's say, this wasn't on the MBA per se, the consulting skills. That was something I learned from my processes with McKinsey and with the other firms, but it's actually very helpful. So you guys remember when we did all this strategy project during the MBA? So I realized that if you review all the consultancy theory, you kind of put all this together in a very compelling way. So, yes, we had these classes and all these frameworks and strategies, but it's really by learning how the consultants put this together that really nailed it. I mean,
so you mean like how they put, say, BCG's matrix, how they put BCG's matrix or
5S, 3A's, any of those. So those are frameworks. Those are like tools, but you have to build a roadmap when you build a strategy. And this is what consultants do. They analyze the problem in a very structured way, in a logical tree. And then based on that, you take all the information, you make your analysis, and based on your analysis, you use any of those tools. So that's what I like the most, this kind of very structural way of conducting a review or looking at a problem. So I actually applied that to the company. So I took the company, I first did an initial review, and then I conducted some interviews with people. And then after that, I developed, let's say, a hypothesis on what the problem is. And based on that, you start to build your strategy, then your implementation, and that's the process.
And can I ask which frameworks you found the most useful?
Well, in this case, I kind of took many concepts from frameworks. One of the problems in the organization, it was the organizational design. So there was a problem with organizational design. So I kind of, I suggested, because I haven't been able to implement that, but I have suggested to change some of the operational hierarchy and change the structural design and assign them into teams, most like a circles type of organization. It's sort of mixed, because you cannot fully implement, let's say, a teams organization, because you will have problems. But in this in this specific problem, I was having issues with the people from operations, because they were not very well aligned with the organization. And then the other one was because they were having problems with the budgets on the financial planning, I had to develop, let's say, a tool to to keep track of all the financial spending. And I'm still doing that. This tool is supposed to gather the information and the data and to see how are we financially exploiting our opportunities. Because the data that they have right now is not very reliable. So that was one of the issues when I first tried to dig in the organization.
But now you have the data.
Because I have to design a tool to gather the data. Now I have the data and I have been finding some incredible problems that, let's say, they are not very obvious at the beginning, but then when you see the data, you realize where the pitfalls are.
Yeah. All right. So I guess, Eduardo, our final question for now is, what would your tips be for any MBA students or graduates who are in the same position as you?
That's a good question, actually. So when I first joined the MBA, I wasn't pretty sure about what I wanted to do, if I wanted to pursue a career path outside my family business, or if I wanted to contribute. So this kind of hesitation didn't let me fully explore the MBA. Since the beginning, if I had this clear since the beginning that I was going to work on my family firm, I will have taken this into account and developed a project for my family business. Let's say for the dissertation-wise, I would have done a job for my family business. You know, I will have worked better if I had knew. But that's kind of tricky, you know, because at that moment, I didn't have any clue about what I do. So I needed to try. And by trying in different industries or by applying to different jobs, I realized that, well, I have the space in my company. I had the opportunity to implement all this knowledge. Because this is an SME, I have a huge opportunity of improving margins, improving sales. So I can take an SME to a big business, I don't know, in a 5 to 10 years period. So that's a good thing, you know?
I sometimes find myself thinking the same thing, or, you know, if I'd come onto the MBA and known exactly what I wanted to do in the end, in a lot of ways, it would have made things easier and you feel like you would get more from it. But then I also feel like one of the biggest things I took from the MBA was kind of having that time and that space to really understand what I wanted and why and what my priorities were.
Exactly. That's it. That's the point. And sometimes I wonder if it wasn't better to take the 2 years MBA, but I still don't know.
I think the same thing. Because the extra year, because the year goes so fast, the extra year would allow you a little bit more time to reflect.
Exactly. And to make better decisions, or even if to position yourself in a better job, or, you know, anything.
Yeah.
But it has its goods, its cons and pros, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, brilliant, Eduardo. I don't want to keep you any longer. You should have a break before your next call. Thank you so much for your time.
I was really
thrilled
to have this chat with you guys.
Thank you so much.
You know, I think it's really interesting that Eduardo talked about how the process he went through for the consulting roles was actually really helpful when he went into his job. The process of when you're applying for consulting positions, the interview process is mostly consists of like case studies. And although I didn't end up applying for consulting positions, I did go through all the preparation and practicing and learning to do those. And it is kind of like the ultimate test of all the stuff you've learned in the MBA, because it's so practical and it really does draw on like all the different areas. I found for me, it was so helpful, like not only for interviewing for jobs, because once you've done like consulting case studies, a lot of the other interview stuff just seems a lot easier in comparison. From a learning experience as well, I felt like I got as much from practicing those case studies as I did from some of the modules on the course.
Are there any books or any resources you'd recommend for someone, say they want to not necessarily go into consulting, but just use it as preparation?
Yeah, so the book that kind of everyone gets is the Victor Cheng book. And I'm sure anyone who's looking at applying for consulting is already kind of aware of that. But yeah, that's kind of like the classic book that everyone has. And then there's also a website that he has as well, which has extra practice cases on. Also, very importantly, it has the mental maths practice, which for me was the biggest hurdle for sure in those case studies. So it also has like opportunities to practice that as well. So yeah, that's the one to look at as a starting point, I would say.
That's great. And it's funny because as Eduardo has said, from the consultants I've met and the little material I've looked at, it does give you a very strong grasp of structure and how to structure the problem and how to approach the problem in a very methodical way.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just a really useful skill to have.
Aside from that point that you said, how the consultancy preparation helped him move into this new role, just in some of the skills he learned and gained from that practice. But also looking at his role now, a lot of people look at consulting, McKinsey and BCG, and they think, oh yeah, you know, this is going to be the dream job. But actually, from everything that Eduardo is telling us about his role, I'm thinking actually that's the dream job, because you have so much freedom to grow and to really work on, sink your teeth into something.
Yeah, absolutely. Like as he was talking, I was kind of thinking, you know, how much of that experience and freedom would you get in like your first 2 years at a big kind of big name consultancy? You know, I think it's a very different experience, and you know, different things are right for different people.
Yeah, that's well put. Yeah. That's all for today's Modern MBA podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Marie.
And until next time, goodbye.
Bye.